Good morning. A couple of announcements before we begin this morning. First of all, there are on the table, blue table out there, for some of the Sunday school students. They're called resurrection eggs. I think most of them have been passed out, but there are a few, like they're named, so there's certain family names on them. The Sunday school is taking care of all that. I'm just kind of making that little announcement right now for those who hadn't gotten them. For their Sunday school students yet. And again, they are named. It has a family name on it to pick up. April 11th, we are beginning our Sunday school. So I believe the entire congregation received an email about the opening of Sunday school. The Sunday school students will be in their classes. All the adult classes will be together in the auditorium on the 11th yet. We will not be having donut and coffee hour yet. But we will be having Sunday school classes. And on Easter Sunday, we will be having our three services for Easter Sunday. No Easter breakfast, but in lieu of Easter breakfast, the Easter breakfast committee will be passing out a half dozen donuts to each family in attendance at each service. So that's what we'll be doing this year. If you look here, this morning up front on the credence table, there are four linens. These linens are called falls and veils. The falls hang, this one hangs from the pulpit, as you can see here, and it's a little wider than the one that hangs on the lectern. These are black, and they are designed for use on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. I had asked my mom if she could make them, and we were able to finish them, she was able to finish them this week, and we tested to see yesterday if they fit on the bars that they held on. So everything works and fits, and we're going to open the service with the blessing of the falls and the veils. And that is the way we'll start the service before we go to our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. It is therefore fitting that we implore the Lord's blessing as we clothe the places for the speaking of his word in his sanctuary, from which he strengthens and preserves us in the true faith. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, you instructed your servant Moses to make hangings and fine linens for use in your tabernacle. And we implore you to sanctify these falls for the adornment of your church. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless these falls and veils for use within our church. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We turn now to our opening hymn as we start the service proper.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 28th, 2021 Palm Sunday worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Ken Richard, Bill and Diane Breen, and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 442, verses 1 to 3, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, hymn number 442, verses 1 through 3, found in the Lutheran service book. Chuck Noble is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of Becca Talley's birthday. Ed and Ruth Grelk are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God.
Let us rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
And with your spirit.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again may go forth to meet him with his trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
To you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. And so the Pharisees said to one another, You see that we are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord. The hymn is number 442, verses 4 and 5, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Hymn number 442, verses 4 and 5, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Hosanna!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
O Lord, save us, we pray. O Lord, we pray. give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday from the book of Zechariah, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it.
The epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at the 5th verse. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So the word that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to thee, O Christ.
Having heard the word of the living God, we confess our common Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ,
Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn is number 443, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, hymn number 443 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text this morning from John chapter 12, the 25th verse. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. So in the two gospel readings for today, we have several distinct different groups of people, crowds of people, if you will. There are two distinct crowds of people who praise Jesus with hosannas. There are two distinct crowds of people within the Jewish leadership. There are at least then four groups of people, maybe more, if you consider the disciples who had followed Jesus from Jericho to Bethany. Remember, Jesus went from Jericho, and he stopped in Bethany where Lazarus had passed away. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus calls Lazarus forth from the grave. And so it's for all of these people, every single one of these groups of people, that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, that Jesus is going to die for. So Jesus doesn't die for just a few people. Jesus dies for all people. He even is going to die on the cross for his enemies. And Jesus dies a death that will save and redeem all of humanity from the prince and the power of this world, from Satan, that is, and from eternal death. This is the mission that Jesus is now on. So I'm going to set up the picture here. Jesus had went from Jericho to Bethany. Right? Lazarus lay in the tomb, and Lazarus' sisters are grieving over their brother's death. Visiting the sisters are other Jewish people who had come out from Jerusalem, about a two-mile walk, 2 miles away, and they had come out to do the same thing that we do when somebody passes away. We bring a casserole. We go to somebody's house. We console them. We sit with them for a while. This is what was going on. And so the Jews had come from Jerusalem out to Bethany to support and mourn with the sisters of Lazarus. Then in comes Jesus, and he goes out to the grave. Jesus weeps. Him talking to the sisters on how Lazarus will rise from the grave. I know that he will rise on the last day in the resurrection, says one of the sisters. Jesus then says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Jesus asks for the stone to be rolled away. Oh, Jesus, no, the smell. We can't do that. No, roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the grave. Right? So now you have all of these folks who are from Jerusalem who are there witnessing Lazarus coming out of the grave, and Jesus had the power to do this. And what did they do? They went back to Jerusalem, and they told their friends and family members in Jerusalem and people they met what it was that they had seen. They went back to Jerusalem and spread the word concerning Jesus. They told what they had seen, just like the shepherds did at Jesus' birth. Remember what the shepherds did. After they had seen the baby Jesus, they went back to their flocks, but on the way, they told people what they had seen. So here's part and parcel of the reaction that many people have when they encounter Jesus and Jesus' activity. This is even the future command that Jesus gives after his resurrection. And what is this? Go and tell. Go and tell what you have seen. The people assembled for the feast at the Passover, right? Because this is the feast of Passover, the big feast in Jerusalem, people coming from all over the place. Some of these folks hear that Lazarus is raised from the grave. They head out to Bethany. They take the walk out there, go to Bethany because they want to see. They want to see Lazarus. They want to see Jesus. They probably wanted to see the empty tomb. There's probably people going, this is where the tomb was. This is where it happened. This is what happened. Jesus was here. Jesus said, come forth. Lazarus walked out, still wrapped in the grave cloths. We had to clean him up, but there he is, right over there. And I testify to you that he was absolutely dead. And now he is alive. So these people go out, and they see what they could see. Another group had stayed back in Jerusalem. Okay, so now you have two. Some went out. Some stayed in Jerusalem. But either way, Jesus calling Lazarus forth from the grave is the talk of the town around Jerusalem. This is the hot topic of the day, and what was going on. Right? And this one, they thought, having heard this, calling somebody forth from the grave, this one, they thought, must be the Messiah King who was promised. So now on Palm Sunday, see, we're building up to Palm Sunday, some of those who had went out to Bethany now follow Jesus into Jerusalem. Others of them beat Jesus back to Jerusalem, told their family and their friends and passed the word around that Jesus of Nazareth is coming to Jerusalem. So you have Jesus, the disciples, a group of people who had went out to Bethany, and another group in Jerusalem who are all coming together. And they all meet outside the city of Jerusalem somewhere. And they're waving palm branches and singing and shouting, "Hosannas, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna, a word meaning save now or grant salvation. So there's this whole scene, this semi-chaotic scene going on that was absolutely just something that was probably unheard of in the city of Jerusalem. But by rights, the one who comes in the name of the Lord should come in power and might. He should come to punish unbelief. But he doesn't do that. Now it's still the time of grace, and the deeds of grace were yet to be done. So this king, coming on a colt to the foal of a donkey, is coming to grant and bring grace and salvation. And he is to be followed joyfully and with trust in him, not in fear and not in dread. However, dread did fill the hearts of one particular group of people, and this particular group of people was a portion of the Jewish leaders. This group had hearts of stone and wickedness. Now, they had heard the same message. They had heard about Lazarus. They had heard about what Jesus had done. They heard what the people had seen. They'd seen many healings. They'd seen a lot of things. They heard the same things. They saw the same things, but they had different results in their hearts. And there seems to be two different factions within the leadership of the Jewish people. There's a faction that urged moderation and patience. And then there's a faction that was urging more violence. Perhaps some of the moderates were those who secretly trusted Jesus and yet were afraid to voice their support. They were afraid of the Pharisees. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to voice their support of the Nazarene because they didn't want to be put out of the temple. And as Scripture tells us, they loved the glory that came from men more than the glory that came from God. But the violent faction, okay, these are the ones who were stirring and agitating for the death of Jesus. They also, and this shows you how black their hearts were, okay, how dark they were and how evil they were plotting the death of Lazarus too. They were looking at what happened to Lazarus. They were watching the people go out to Bethany. They were seeing the people come back. And they got together and said, "We got to put Lazarus to death." Like, Lazarus didn't do anything, right? I mean, what could the dead do? He was dead. The dead don't have life in themselves. They need the life giver to come and call them forth. Lazarus was to be put to death not because of anything he had done, but because of what other people had done. Other people were going out to see him. They were going out to see Jesus. And as a consequence of this, they were seeing and they were putting their confidence in Jesus of Nazareth. It's for this reason, people believing in Jesus, that these Jewish leaders wanted to put Lazarus to death. That's why his life was in danger. And this violent faction of the leadership also wanted to make sure that Jesus was put to death. And they were mocking the moderates. That's what we get in our reading. They were mocking the moderates. "See? See your patience? It's getting you nowhere. The whole world is running after him." And by implication, they're saying, we're being left in the dust. They felt very threatened. So here are some wicked, power-hungry individuals. Hate and evil lie with them. It's why Jesus said, looked at them and said, "You're a pit of vipers, a nest of vipers, and you are whitewashed sepulchres. You know, dead on the inside, but you look like you're alive on the outside." That's why Jesus referred to them in this way. All of these things, the hosannas, the plotting for death, all of this, this is what Jesus willingly walks into on that Palm Sunday. And it is of all of these people, the people shouting hosannas, the people who were tepid, the people who wanted him dead, it's of all of these people that Jesus speaks of when he says, whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's a very important sentence. And in this sentence, we find two different uses of the word for life. There, the first life, whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life, that word, that life there, denotes this earthly physical life. Okay, that's what we're talking about. So it's the current life. To love your current life is to be a friend of the world, to have an affection and an attachment to the world. The lover of the natural life looks like they're alive, but they're actually in the process of losing their life, while for all intents and purposes, it looks like they're truly winners. Right? Now, some part of people who love their life would say, he who dies with the most toys wins. Another group would say, he who dies with the most toys still dies. Why? In the process of losing their life, even though they look like they're winning life. Okay, to hate one's life in this world, what does that mean? To hate one's life. That means to go contrary to our nature, right? And to be ready to go contrary to our natural inclinations and desires here on earth. We are to wound. The one who hates their life in this world wounds and grieves and denies the self in repentance and sanctification. And such a person, to all the world, looks as if they're gaining nothing. It looks like they're going nowhere in life. But Jesus is saying such a person is actually saving their life in this world and saving it for eternal life. This is what's going on. Right? They're protecting and standing guard over it to eternal life. So what is eternal life? That's the last use of the word life in this sentence. Eternal life is that principle, that life which joins us to God. And we talked about that last week. But it's this life that joins you to God, who is the source of all life. This life is the life that passes through death, physical death. It passes through physical death unharmed and goes on in the believer to the heavenly realms to wait for the resurrection of the dead. So this is what John is speaking of in the first chapter of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Everything was made through him. Nothing has been made that wasn't made through him. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's basically what John is saying. So everything was made through the Word. So what is the Word? The Word is the life giver. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. Therefore, Jesus is the giver of eternal life. Right? And so this Word is the life giver to the rest of creation. We receive life from a higher source, and that higher source is the second person of the Holy Trinity. This is the life which makes us alive spiritually and is the beginning of the new birth which Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, right? Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is, you know, remember Nicodemus, he's struggling with all of this. Can a man be, you know, go into his mother's womb and be born again? That can't happen. And Jesus says, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot have life. And so Jesus is talking about baptism and the new birth in the Holy Spirit. And this is what he's talking to Nicodemus about, this new life. And what does this new life do? What does this life of faith do? It grasps hold of Christ. It holds on to Christ for eternal life. The Christ who is uplifted on the cross. And that is the very mission of the Christ, right? Not to come and be an earthly king, but to come and be lifted up on the cross, to die for the sins of the world, to be the sacrifice for all people. This life of forgiveness in Jesus is the life that we are talking about. This life of forgiveness is in Jesus is eternal, and it goes on for all of eternity. It goes on endlessly. It is unaffected by death. That is why we say when we die, we don't really die. Our bodies stop working. Our bodies go to sleep. But this life that is our life in Jesus Christ continues on past this life into the heavenly realms and then bides time. It waits patiently in the glory of God until Jesus returns and the trumpet blast of the archangel and the shout of heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise and we will be put back, our bodies and souls together, to live forever in glory. This life, this is the life that we are all speaking of. This is the life that is grasped at by the Jewish pilgrims that are crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings. They're starting to grasp at this life. But it is also the very same life that is willingly lopped off and severed by those wicked Jewish leaders. They want no part of it. Why? Because they don't want the earth, heavenly glory. They are wanting the glory that comes from, you know, adulation of people. But that stops at death. The other glory goes on for all of eternity. Now, one of the great things when we look at the language of this sentence, Jesus doesn't use an absolute with the people who are rejecting him. Right? As long as someone is alive, they have the opportunity to repent and turn to Christ. And therefore, we keep proclaiming the word. We keep proclaiming the new life in Christ. We keep speaking and telling of this so that they will hear, be convinced of their sins, repent of their sins, receive the work of Christ unto themselves, and have that eternal life. Right? Because there is always room for repentance and there is always room for forgiveness while one is still living. In this kind of hesitant middle ground, at least, is that group that we find like Nicodemus, like those Jewish leaders who were hesitant to confess Jesus Christ. They weren't sure yet. They were like Joseph of Arimathea in a struggle, their faith versus their fear. And yet, because Jesus is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, right? He not only died for them too, but he sent the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts through his word. So one can imagine Nicodemus sitting and telling John, the gospel writer, yes, I was afraid. I was afraid more than I was faithful. But after seeing the vitriol and hatred that was directed at Jesus, I came to see that he was innocent and that he at least deserved a proper burial. So Joseph and I went and got the spices and got the grave, took Jesus from the cross and laid him in a grave. After the resurrection, it was, and you can imagine, you know, Nicodemus saying this, after the resurrection, it was then that I realized that I had true life in Jesus Christ and that he is the life giver. Right? And that's where we find ourselves. Right? We are post-resurrection people. We are looking at Jesus and saying, in Jesus is the true life. In Jesus is our true life. In Jesus is our resurrection. In Jesus is our eternal life. We have joined that crowd who was following Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. We have heard the testimony of others concerning him. And we too believe that Jesus came to bring life and life at the fullest. Life eternal. And it is in Jesus of Nazareth that we trust for that life. In this faith, then, we live not sinless lives, because this side of heaven we will still sin, but we lead repentant and faithful lives. Lives of faith in the Son of God who loves us and who gave his life for us. And so what are we going to do with that this week? We, as the servants of Christ, we, as the disciples of Jesus, we're going to set our feet on the same road that he walked. Today, we're walking into Jerusalem with Jesus. And the rest of the week, we as his servants will follow him where he has gone. We'll follow him to the upper room. We will follow him to the Garden of Gethsemane. We will follow him to the palace of the high priest and to the praetorium. We will follow him to Golgotha. We will follow him to the place of the skull. We will follow him to the cross. We will follow him to the grave, and come next Sunday morning, we will run to the grave and find that it is empty, and understand yet again that in his resurrection is your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We will take a few moments now for our organ interlude.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on Cable Channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Saturdays at 10 and 5 and on Wednesdays at 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. O Christ, your glory and might, your true majesty is in loving us so much as to become one of us and die for us. By your Holy Spirit's use of word and sacrament, strengthen our faith that we may live as your humble servants here in time, and with you our King in eternity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Christ, strengthen your church around the world, wherever opposition and oppression, danger and death loom over your faithful people. Assure them of your eternal victory over every force arrayed against them and you. Then increase in them the courage they need to boldly proclaim your death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, who orders the powers that be on this earth, move the rulers of the nations to follow the example of your Son and his determination to live his life for the good of his subjects. Instill in them a desire for compassion, peace, and justice. Grant thereby that the nations will work toward harmony and cooperation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, hear the prayers we offer for those who need healing and strength of body or mind, comfort as they mourn, and relief from difficult circumstances. Especially do we pray for the sick among us, that they be healed of their infirmities. Strengthen those recovering from surgeries. Most specifically do we pray for Norm Mueller, as he recovers from heart bypass surgery, asking that you would bring Norm and the others who are recovering from surgery to full health to the praise of your holy name. We pray also for those battling prolonged illnesses and ask only for the grace to endure each day and for the peaceful and restful and refreshing sleep. For all those we name in our hearts, may you hear and answer our prayers. Use the gifts you have placed within your people to alleviate their ills and bring them to the enjoyment of each new day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously hear our prayers, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord and King, who taught us all to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. The closing hymn is number 606, I Lay My Sins on Jesus. Hymn number 606 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. I think for some reason this morning I was a little bit nervous or something. I think I forgot to mention two things prior to the service. First, I mentioned that two of the linens were falls that hang off the pulpit and the lectern. The two in the center are veils that will cover the processional cross on Good Friday. I think I forgot to mention that. And also, for Easter Sunday, today, Bill Breen and Kenny Richard were testing our ability to take our cameras and show them up on the big screen in the auditorium. That is working. So in case we need overflow seating on Easter Sunday, what we'll do is use the auditorium as overflow seating for Easter Sunday. I'm pretty sure I forgot to mention that this morning. So may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.